take advantage of this.
Hi, Val.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. How are you?
Wonderful. Wonderful. So what brings you our way, may we ask?
I'm doing a piece of theater at the Wiley Theater starting on the 18th called Citizen Twain. It's a play I wrote about Mark Twain.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding.
Okay, how long...
You'll know when I'm kidding.
How long is this...
co-starring Daniel Day-Lewis and Robert Downey Jr.
You're kidding.
I am kidding.
Okay, so how long has this been in the works?
Well, the Daniel Day-Lewis idea is about 5 minutes. 5 minutes now. It's a good idea, though.
It's a great idea.
It is.
No one's going to sue me if I say Daniel Day-Lewis is going to pop by, and he doesn't, right?
No.
Daniel Day-Lewis is popping by.
Perfect.
It's the 18th to the 21st. The Wiley Theater here in Dallas, and I've been working on it about 3 years.
Wow.
So it's really good by now, or I've gone crazy about a year and a half ago. And, well, I know it's good, actually, because I just did it in Los Angeles on the 6th at a 1,700-seat theater, and they laughed, and it's a comedy. And you know what happens if you don't laugh at a comedy?
You die.
You die. But they really did enjoy it. And Mark Twain's probably the most quoted American ever, and in many ways is like an honorary founding father. I'd like to say I just made that up, but I didn't. I stole that line. It's a good line, though, right?
It's a brilliant line. And
Daniel Day-Lewis couldn't have made up a line like that.
No, he's a hack.
No, he's got to practice for like 5 years. Who needs practice? I say, wing it.
Yeah, he's got to get in character and live in character.
That's
for about
right.
5 years.
Now, are there rumblings that this would be turned into some sort of film?
There are rumblings.
Okay.
And even plans. And I'm hoping for... Actually, it turns out when I was a youngster, you couldn't make a living in the theater. And now I'll probably be able to self-finance my film about Mark Twain and Mary Baker Eddy, a woman he was obsessed with the last 10 years of his life.
That's
in about 3 years.
Christian Science woman?
Yes. Yeah, she started a religion, and he wrote a lot about her, and a lot of it was kind of dark and a little spiky, and a lot of it very funny. And that's not really what the play is about. That's what the movie's about. The play is really a character study and a really warm way to look at America's through examining Mark Twain's kind of his greatest hits. Most quoted American in our history. You want to hear some?
Yes.
Well, you've got to come to the Wiley at the 18th, and I'll quote some... Well, I'll do a couple now. Like, he was very fond of himself, so he'd say things like, the audience usually applauds when I come on stage, and I have him start the show by saying, I was born modest, but it wore off. Give me some more. More compliments. If you can't get a compliment any other way, do like Congress does. Give yourself one.
Now, you're speculating that that's the way he sounded?
I am. He grew up on the Mississippi, and he made up his own name. You know, he was born Samuel Clemens, and I figure he developed a kind of general southern, sprawly kind of dialect.
Kind of slow, kind of folksy.
Yeah,
you probably nailed it.
And sexy.
Yeah, totally. He was nothing, if nothing else, he was hot.
Yeah, big schnoz, giant mustache. You know what they say.
No, what do they say, Val?
Big mustache, a lot of soup. Not getting down the gullet.
All right, so, excuse me. So, compare film to...
Where are you guys? You're like in a shopping mall. It's the noisiest radio show I've ever heard.
We're at a racetrack.
You like racing?
A racetrack that came out in stereo.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
We read each other's minds.
It sounds like a racetrack.
So, compare film to stage, and you always hear, you know, film looks great in the little 2 hours that you go to the movies and see it, and I hear it's a beating to actually do one of these things, to put them together, but from, and you always hear actors say that stage is really where it's at, and that's where they had the most fun. Is that the case with you, too?
Well, I've been to Dallas many times. I got to come in and was in a really amazing time in Austin just in the late fall with Terrence Malick, and... it's like a wish list of people I want to work with. I got to work with half of them in one day. Cate Blanchett, Michael Fassbender, Ryan Gosling, Rooney Mara. And, you know, we were all there in Austin, obviously, at the same time and working. But you're not really in Austin. And here I am in Dallas, and I'm really here with the community. A movie is for another time. And
right.
The play's right here, and... In fact, if you can't afford a ticket or it's you can only go on a night that's sold out, if you just come by the theater, I'll come out and say hi.
That's what a kind man.
That's what I'm offering the city of Dallas. In fact, I may start the show outside. And
then take it inside?
And then go inside and then go back outside.
That'd be good.
There's no intermission. So if you've never been to a play, this is a good one to start with because it's short and it's funny. And if you don't like it, you can just check the watch out in 20 minutes, 10 minutes, and then you can leave. Also, I want to mention seriously that I'm giving tickets away to returning vets from Afghanistan and Iraq, and you can find out how to get a free ticket by going to my website, which is valkilmer.com.
Oh, that's a tricky one.
It's a tricky, tricky... I wanted a clever one, but they said that's being clever is dumb.
That's out.
So you've done the play in Los Angeles already.
And I have.
It went over pretty well there for you.
In North Dakota and Boston.
So you're taking this thing on the road.
Yeah, we're starting here in Dallas. And it's what's called a Broadway touring show, even though I haven't gone to Broadway yet. Because of the quality of the sets and the design, it's a kind of show you would only see on Broadway. And the kind of acting you would only see in Daniel Day-Lewis's living room.
True. This is the great Val Kilmer. And was Real Genius your first movie?
No, that was my second movie.
Top Secret?
They don't have a Google out there at the racetrack.
Yeah, but I can't type. I'm not good at typing.
No, my first
Google's made us lazy, Val.
I know. Top Secret was my first movie. Real Genius was my second. Both silly comedies.
Yeah, but brilliant at the same time. Real Genius is still one of my favorite movies from the 80s.
It holds up.
It really does. It really does. The comedy is still there.
Do you think The Doors holds up?
Yes.
Because I certainly do.
Yeah, yeah.
He says, Mike, who is a child of the 60s himself, he says that is the, how do you phrase it, the best representation?
That movie captured the real vibe of the 60s as well, if not better, than any I've ever seen.
Well, Oliver Stone was living the real vibe of the 60s hour to hour when we made it.
I feel him on that.
He was very dedicated, and it was a real privilege. I got to sing the songs live, and there were, you know, Robbie Krieger, the guitarist who wrote their biggest hit, Light My Fire, was on the set every day, and I got to make practically three Doors records pre-recorded with Paul Rothschild, who made all their records, the producer. And I had a great time. It was a unique experience.
See, I was in college at that time. So I was there for the first screening, and I'd probably had a pretty good buzz working at the time of seeing that film. But I was dying for you to go with the other Doors members and take that thing on the road because it sounded so good.
All these years, I finally got to sing with Robbie recently. It was a lot of fun. But I enjoyed that rock and roll.
Well, is the rumor true that you wandered around the set, very Daniel Day-Lewis of you, by the way, and you had everybody call you Jim?
Yeah, actually it was pre-DDL, I call it. Daniel Day-Lewis.
That's my new bracelet.
I'm replacing it with method acting. It's to Lewis. I had a full Lewis on at the time. And it really was an accident, but I sort of defend Daniel because it sounds like a bit of a mad thing to do, but it's really just a practical way because you want to maximize being good in the movie. And the more people think of you as who you're there to be or pretend to be, the easier it is. And that was also a lot to do with because a lot of people have very strong opinions about icons.
Yeah.
And, I still get... told opinions about Doc Holliday or other real people that I've played. I've had a great, great fun speaking of real people and icons with Mark Twain, with the scholars, and because he's so much fun. Like I wrote jokes or you know wrote them down, stuff that Twain's written 100 years ago, and I've been practicing this thing for 3 years, and they're still making me laugh. Although my jokes about fame didn't make you guys laugh. I'm going to make you laugh before this interview.
You know what?
You have.
I'm going to make you laugh.
I'm going to show up at the theater.
It takes Daniel Day-Lewis showing up at the Wiley on the 18th to do it. I'm going to think of a funny line right now. Here's one. No, that's not funny. Maybe I'm wrong, and it's a very, very serious evening in the theater. No,
I highly doubt it.
It is funny. Oh, here's one. I like cats. They're quieter than children. Although, if you pick up a cat by the tail, you learn something about life that you cannot learn in any other way.
Okay. See, you made us laugh.
Very good. Very good. Okay, real quick. You mentioned Terrence Malick. You got to work with him.
And, I did.
And Oliver Stone and Michael Mann. Who's your favorite?
I don't really have one, although just the last 2 years I've gotten to work with two of my favorites, just personal favorite. Well, Terrence is a personal favorite, but Harmony Korine and Francis Coppola and Werner Herzog. He's a laugh riot, Werner.
Are you in Spring Breakers?
No, I was asked to, but...
What'd you do with Harmony?
We did a short called The Fourth Dimension.
Ah, okay.
And you can see that on YouTube.
On the interweb.
On the interweb, yeah.
Were you in Diner?
I was not in Diner, but I... There's a joke in there I know about Ellen Barkin, but I'm not going to say it.
Good.
I used to date her.
You did?
Yeah.
Back in the hot days?
She still looks pretty good.
You know, she looks really good for her age, but there
was
a time, man.
Now she's very rich.
Like Sea of Love when she was doing that?
Yeah.
That was... Was that the time when you were dating her?
A little before Sea of Love, in fact.
Excellent.
Way to go.
We were young
Way
and
to
in New York
go.
City. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, now tell us the joke about her.
What?
Tell us
There's
the tell
no
us.
Joke. She's a fine, fine woman and a wonderful mother.
So before we let you go, I it's funny because Heat was on the other night, and Heat's one of those movies that if it's on, I'm watching it. Like, I'll sit through all 6 hours of it because I think it's spectacular.
I have a good sequel. You want to hear it?
Yes.
Okay, I got the money. You know, it's in the trunk.
Yeah?
So now I'm rich. I've got my own island. I probably live next to Johnny Depp. And I'm watching TV one day, and Al Pacino's character, who was a cop,
yeah,
shot De Niro's character, he's bragging about how he took down this crew, and I know that the only reason that he killed my best friend is because my best friend was loyal to our crew. So I can't stand it, and I go back to Chicago where he's retiring, and I secretly become engaged to his daughter-in-law. Do you remember who the daughter-in-law was in the movie? Which is why I have this idea for the sequel.
Who is it?
You don't remember.
I'm trying to think.
So
who
you
is
fell
it?
Asleep during the...
No, I didn't. Who is it?
It's Natalie Portman.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's little
so
Natalie.
She said, Daddy, I want you to meet my fiance, and it's me. And then we have a quiet moment. I said, I'm going to torture you and drive you crazy, and then I'm going to kill you. And then it's a big cat and mouse scene.
Brilliant.
Scene around Chicago. What do you think?
Awesome.
Signing me up. I'm in.
Have you ever met Tom Hamilton of Aerosmith?
No, I haven't. But I'd like to.
What the hell kind of question is that?
I'm ready for anything.
He's got places to be. Don't waste his time with that crap.
All right. I was just wondering.
Yeah, that's the dumbest question.
I met Bob Dylan.
That's the worst question.
Really?
I met Bob.
What was that like?
He's fantastic. Bob is the funniest. He's one of my favorite comedians. Yeah. It's true.
I believe you.
I can't imagine him being funny.
He's hilarious. That's all this scam.
That's what everybody says, but it's hard.
Quiet, enigmatic guy. He's like hopping around the room. Yeah, he's like the Woody Allen of folk.
It's hard for the layman to imagine that.
Yeah, that made you laugh. Woody Allen of folk.
All right, you got to go. We're being told you have to leave.
Yes,
but thank you very much. Plug the gig one more time.
All right, it's the 18th at the Wiley, right? Mark Twain.
Yeah, 18th to the 21st.
I'll tell you
and,
what, Val.
If the Lewis is with us, then we'll get encores and can stay longer than the 21st. And we're giving away tickets on valkilmer.com to returning vets. And if you can't make the show, you could buy a ticket anyway and we'll donate it to a vet. Because I'm trying to do something. You got to give back, and I'm trying to be more aggressive about doing that.
Cause, that's good.
You know, there's like a cloud over our vets. We all wish them well, but we don't do enough, and that's
right.
A hard fact. So I'm facing it the only way I can, by giving away seats.
Good for you. Well, you piqued my interest enough, I will be up there.
Please come see it. It's very funny.
We will.
Despite
right,
the fact that I couldn't move you.
No.
Nope.
You did move us. Nope. You did move us.
You did great.
You did great. And it's great talking to you. We appreciate it, man.
Thank you very much.
Bye, Val.
That is the great Val Kilmer.
There he goes.
With us here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Unbelievable.
All right.
One of the oddest and best moments we've had in a long time.
Dude. We just talked about
how did that come about?
Don't worry about it.
Who brought him up?
Sean Bass.
Huh?
I'm like, Stan, you guys are talking about the trademarking of restaurants, and I've got dickheads, get out of here!
Oh, leave him alone.
Okay, I'm trying to talk to you guys. Now listen, so...
All right, we're listening.
I turn around, I feel somebody behind me, Jake points, and I turn around, and I immediately know it's Val Kilmer, and I turn my mic off, and Sean Bass looks at me and goes, "Hey, it's Val Kilmer." And I go, "It sure as F is." And I got up and shook his hand and it's like, "Hey, you got a couple of minutes to pop me on?" I'm like, "Hell yeah."
Was he by himself?
No, he's got a couple of handlers. He's going to the Angelica right now to go see a friend's movie for the disc.
For the Dallas International Film Festival.
How cool is that?
Great.
Pretty awesome. And I'll tell you what, he looks amazing.
He does?
You know how he kind of got a little bigger before?
Yeah, a little doughy.
Dude, he's in great shape.
He leaned out, huh?
Yeah, he did. I mean, I recognized him immediately.
Boy, that kind of thing doesn't normally happen to us.
No, not at all. Thanks, Sean Bass.
Where was he walking? I mean,
I don't know. He was just wandering around the fourth floor, and Sean Bass grabbed him.
Did he go on the Wolf or anything?
I have no idea. I don't know why he's up here. And Mike asked him the dumbest question of all
time. What are you doing?
Do you know Tom Hamilton from Aerosmith?
Are you already out of stuff? I could have talked to Val Kilmer for 2.5 hours.
Easily.
And that
was a perfectly legitimate...
7 minutes in, you asked Tom Hamilton questions.
That was a perfectly legitimate question. See, everybody liked that question.
No, they didn't.
They really
Yeah, they did. They did, too. It went over well. So there.
All right.
Well, that just happened.
Thanks, Val.
Yeah. All right, what happened now?
I want to mark the tease from Danny. We need to go to break right now because we're coming up next. We're talking to Val Kilmer.
No, Val Kilmer's standing right behind me.
Yeah.
God. It was like he had a knife to my back and demanding an interview.
And that guy is the nicest dude you'll ever meet.
Holy crap.
Okay, was he wandering around and you were like, "Hey, Val Kilmer"?
No, I'm sitting here in the newsroom just minding my own damn business, and some sales guy has Val Kilmer and one of his handlers, and he's like, "Hey, can he pop on?" I'm like, "Hell yeah, he can. Let's go talk to Danny."
Wow. Amazing.
How cool.
Like I say, that normally doesn't happen to us. Yeah. Anybody but us, but not us. All right, 409 here on the ticket.